And what is that? Many of us probably think that relationship is very important, very crucial, and we admit that relationship is one of the key factors in having a good or blessed life. But then sometimes we forget that relationship does not start with people and people. When we talk about relationship, we talk about a husband and wife, we talk about parents and children, we talk about friends, we talk about, you know, classmates or colleagues and all these kind of things, and which they are all important, but we fail to acknowledge that the key to a good people-to-people relationship is found in our relationship with God. So today, I want to share that's the most basic... Did I come down here? Yeah. Okay. I want you to understand that, see, even when you look at the cross, the vertical relationship, once we develop a good foundation and the right relationship with God, the horizontal relationship comes along with it. You see, if you get twisted, if your straight vertical pulse is not right, it's crooked. So our relationship with other people also becomes not straight. So this last week, my wife had the opportunity to go out of town. And then, okay, I think, let's read this passage for before. Can we all rise? Because this is interesting. Now, I don't know if we're still practicing or not, but we're supposed to be standing when we read God's word. That's what Fullerton Campus said they want to start and do. So I am just following the tradition that we set in the beginning. All right, let's, in unison, please, read this. I am the true vine. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his own words. And so I was just saying that this past week I have the privilege and opportunity to go out and be in the boondocks for a whole week. And this is my outline. So this, I'm a little nervous because of my time. I have communion, so, and I have a lot to cover, but I'm going to try to finish it. So we were in the boondocks, and this is one, we had a wonderful time, but then this happened to us because we experienced this disconnected with the world. So it's so remote that there's very few people, there's an island, and then very little things to do. And one of the things is hard is because the internet connection is very bad. So in this wired and networking technology, to be disconnected is really something that you will miss basically what's going on in life. So one day I tried to FaceTime with our granddaughter, and so in talking to her, the connection keep breaking up. It's poor connection. It gets disrupted. It gets disconnected. And you try to... It's so frustrating, you know. And I get a lot of email every day. And so I try to respond to them too. And then you know, download some of the things that attachment and all this. You cannot do. And it's always frustrating. And life is sometimes like that. So when we get disconnected, we get so frustrated. But sometimes we don't understand why. So when we are disconnected with God, that brings a lot of frustrations in our lives. The biggest frustration really in our life is because we don't really understand why we are bored or why we are bitter or why we are mad and why we're not interested in spiritual things. And when you talk about spiritual things, you really feel like, you know, you hate it and you don't want to talk about it. But that's the main reason why, is because we call that, or St. John of the Cross called that, the dark night of our soul. So just to let you know that those undergoing a time of spiritual dryness or emptiness or disconnection, it says that are left with such dryness that not only do they experience no pleasure or consolation in spiritual things, but instead, on the contrary, they find insipidity and bitterness in said things. So why life is so bored, insipidity means in our colloquial, you're bored. So why? It's because we're disconnected. We feel the spiritual emptiness, but sometimes we don't know why. We know that our relationship is not going well, and because our way of doing things, the people probably don't understand. But those are probably minor issues. The biggest issue, the most basic problem, is our connection in life is because we are disconnected with God. So when sin came into the world, that's what happened. We were disconnected with God, and so we have to find our way of reconnecting with God. You see, God wants us really to be connected with Him. He created us. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to be in dialogue and in communication and in communing with Him. Even the word we use in communion is to have common union with God. So that's very crucial, and it's very, very important. Now, many people try to really do it, but you just need to understand. There's so many ways of connecting with God. But one of the things is, I want to say this. In Asia, you'll find it when I travel, even in other parts of the world, I find that people really trying and longing to connect with God. And so they try to find different ways of connecting with God. And then, of course, there are so many ways of connecting with God. You see, when you're in Asia, you can see all these people burn incense, and then they use all kinds of lightings, and maybe even putting their body in certain kind of motions so that they feel they're connecting with God. And, you know, doing certain procedures and offering certain sacrifices to the idol. You get some people say, oh, food, or burn paper, money, or build houses and burn them, and all this kind of things. So it's not unusual for us Asian to know or to see those kind of things. But what are the purpose of that is people trying to connect with God. So they're trying to see, okay, maybe this is one way. And then there's chanting, and then all kinds of very bizarre ways to get connected to God. And we look at them, because we're Christians now, we look at them, that's really bizarre. But you have to understand that before we became Christian, we don't think that those things are bizarre at all. I think it's normal to us because we see them all the time. And then one time I was in China, and people are selling the gongs, you know. For those of you older, you know there's a gong show once upon a time. But for those of you younger, you don't know what that is. But anyway, so they're selling the gongs, and then I said, what are those for? You know, just like our symbols or something. And then the vendor told me that they said, oh, these are used to wake up God. You know, God is so busy that he cannot, you know, cannot hear you, cannot pay attention to you. You just have to hit the gong and then wake God up and then say, hey, I'm here, I'm trying to communicate, I want your attention and all this kind of thing. So it's kind of like, you know, from people trying to use all kinds of things. Now in LA, we have that too. But I don't see them anymore. I travel a lot of the airport. Before, you just land or you go to the airport, you'll see the Hare Krishnas, you know, chanting and doing all kinds of things. But I don't see them at the airport anymore. So they say you got off the plane and there were guys standing outside. They're jumping up and down. They're beating a tambourine and chanting certain words. And they were trying to really connect or to show that they're connecting with God. Now, you say, okay, then, but we don't do those anymore. We think those are very strange. But then some of us who call ourselves Christians, we have also ways of connecting with God just as goofy, as bizarre as those. And then we think they're off base too. You say, really? I say, yeah. Just look at watch the TV, and then people will call you and say, well, this is a prayer cloth, and you come and call in and write in or whatever, and then we'll send you a prayer cloth, and then you have this prayer cloth, and you can pray, and then God will answer you. And someone will say, okay, you come on this. Oh, this is holy water from Jerusalem. And so if you ask for it, then they'll send it to you, and then you'll have it, and then your prayer will be answered. And the many, many of those things, and we believe it too. And then some of the preachers on TV will tell you and say, oh, if you'd only chant these words or this phrase every day, 3 times a day, for sure, life will be good for you. And we believe it too. And how many people call in and how many people really believe that that is true? Those are really bizarre. And so, but then there are ways that we really have to learn ourselves to make to exercise spiritual disciplines. There are so many things that's very different. And so since I was gone for a whole week in this place that's so isolated and so no connections and so, now I can understand and appreciate a little bit more because I'm always so busy that I don't even go to bed until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock every day, and I get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock every day. And so I always wonder why, you know, people are able to do that. When I go to China to do training, and they'll get up at 4:30 and we'll have prayer meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I can tolerate that. And I can stand up for 1 week of training, and then I move on into another place and then come home. And then so it's okay. I don't find it very difficult. But what really impressed me a lot are the Koreans. The Koreans will have their prayer meeting 5 o'clock, 7 days a week. And then they go to work. You know, I always say, wow, how can they do that? I'll be dead in 2 weeks if I get up 5 o'clock. I already get up 5:30, 6 o'clock. And how do they do that? You see, but then there's cultural background, and there's also reasons why they are able to sustain that, because it's one of the reasons is spiritual discipline. So we want to connect with God, so we really must exert effort. But then it doesn't mean that everybody will be able to do that. So God wants us to connect with him. We want to really be spiritual giants, and we want to be able to pray like those people who get up at 5 o'clock pray. But I can guarantee you, the whole Korean church, not everybody gets up and pray at 5 o'clock. But most people do. I do because they have the spiritual discipline, they're wanting to do it, and, you know. But then we abuse sometimes of prayer. We think, oh, we make God a genie, so we pray, and then we kind of like say, okay, God, you have to do this because I'm praying. And then they say, for those of people who don't come to prayer meeting and all those things, and so don't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and join the 5 o'clock or early morning prayer, we feel guilty, isn't it? So the contrast or the balance of things is very crucial. So here on the one hand, we have this goofy, bizarre things, and people, in fact, there are some books and some things that's a bestseller, they will say, oh, okay, if you only do these Bible prayers, and then we, at one time, Jabez prayer of Jabez is very popular, so everybody's praying Jabez, prayer of Jabez, but it's nothing wrong with that. But when you go overboard and then you say, okay, we'll quote some Bible prayers and then this will do some miracles in our lives. For example, one time I saw an article, it says, Bible prayers will flush out your body fat for eternity. Now, isn't it? So no diet, no special diet, no exercise. You just pray this every day. And then what do? You pray on Monday, you pray, man shall not live by bread alone. And then the second day you say, I am the bread of life. I mean, you see, people believe that. But the prayer is actually for us to connect with God. So that's why the Bible teaches us that we have to be very careful in what we do. Now, I like the message paraphrase. It says here, let me read it to you. It says, they are full of programs and formulas and advice, peddling techniques of getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is what the Bible teaches us. And now that's what it is saying. It's saying that we have to be careful, because we now develop all kinds of programs or all kinds of formulas and all this kind of thing, luring people into believing that that is how it should be done. But brothers and sisters, that should not be the way. The biblical examples of, because we have to know God's intention is for us really to, God wanting to have fellowship with us, and he really wants us to really connect with him. And so from the very start, we already can see, I don't know, this painting, God wants to connect with people. See, when I went to the Sistine Chapel, I saw this painting on top and very beautifully done. So we can see the original intention is really for us to connect. Once we get connected with God, then we really can see that really our life will change. So the most basic connection in life is not connecting with people, but with God. And then we talk about the ways of connecting with God, the bizarre way and the goofy way and all this kind of thing. But to really connect with God, we really must understand it is God's intention that we connect through him only permanently, only through Jesus Christ our Lord. To connect with God permanently is salvation through Jesus Christ. So that's the first step that we must do. Nobody come through the Father but through me only, except by me. He said, you cannot come to God any other way but through Jesus Christ. But once you are a Christian, the God has given us different ways to worship him. We need to find out what they are and celebrate them. So many, many, many ways. One of the ways that God has given to many people is love of nature. So I love to see nature. So you, many of you, I know love it too. You like to go to Sequoia Park. You like to go to Yellowstone. You like to go to all these nature scenes. You just enjoy it. You like to go to Great Grand Canyon, you know. And look at that and just say, wow, what a marvelous creation God is. So you like to go to the beach, just looking now into the ocean and enjoying the waves and all these things. I love those. So God gave us all these different gifting, our love for nature, and then when we're out there in the nature, we feel very close to God. And then there are some people who enjoy desert. You're just going into the desert, dry land, but then it's still nature. What's that, Joshua tree and then Dead Valley and all those kind of things? You see, those are so many things that's really not unusual thing. When you see the majesty and the beauty of what God has made, suddenly you're more aware of His presence. The creation that He made, and you want to spend time worshiping Him. So you're connecting with God. God give you that love for nature. There are lessons to be learned in nature. You know, a while back when I was just sitting on the beach and looking out into the horizon, and I say, oh, wow, that's beautiful. But because of what I know, that the horizon is not the end of the ocean, right? But if you only don't know that's the end, then you cannot really enjoy it and say, oh, what happened then? You fall off. But because we think that, oh, wow, see, we cannot see on the other side of the horizon, but God is so great. So when we sing earlier, how great thou art, O God, I am really, every time I sing that song, it moves my heart. We cannot imagine how great God is. So we can only see on this side of the horizon, but God can see on the other side of the horizon. In our life, we can only see a portion of what's going on in our life, but God can see the whole picture of our life. And so we worship Him. It causes us to worship Him because we really see that God is great. So if you can see that God can handle all your minor issues, because He's great, so you won't have to worry about so much about anything. So there are lessons to be learned in nature, and some of you really love it, and you need to be out there on a regular basis if that's what your personality or your emotional thumbprint is, you know. And the second thing I think is some of you love art, music, and architecture. To confess to you, I don't really appreciate much art because I didn't take art appreciation in school. So I really don't really know when people would say, whoa, this is exotic, or this is, what do they call that, the modern art and all this thing. For example, this thing. A lot of people enjoy this so much, but I'm learning to like it. But I just cannot see a plain, beautiful thing. This is better than a just plain white wall with a cross on it. I just cannot see it. But I'm not discounting that some people are being blessed by this. So I am enjoying it too, because I know this will lead to worship in some people's heart. So I am okay. I just, because for my own sake, I probably will not build something like this. So that you'll say, oh, this will probably help me to worship God. Because I'm dumb. I cannot appreciate art. And so there are so many things in life that's like that. So I cannot draw. I cannot, you know, and some of you people who really are in the design industry and all these things, see, you can. But I also know how to look at things that I like. So I like simple things. So when your design is very simple because of my limited head and mind, and I just enjoy those kind of things. But in any case, so people love art, and some people, so you know you need to really use those giftings that God has given you to connect with God. Because when you see God, when you see those art, you can see God. So when you go to art museum, you enjoy it a lot, but I will never go to art museum unless I'm forced to. Because I don't enjoy, I don't appreciate, I mean, I don't know how to appreciate. Okay, in other words, those are some of our differences. So we are created not the same, because we're all unique personality, and we have all our emotional thumbprints. So you love to go into art museum, and then there are so many different ways, and so I just went to an art gallery because I was bored, nothing to do. So I walk into the art gallery this time this week with my wife, and all this painting and this. Boy, I just cannot understand. But all this, you think it's just like a little kid is go, poof, boom, and then it's on the wall, and then there's something, it's supposed to appreciate something out of it. I just don't know. But anyway, so there are different ways that people or artists interpret life, but to them, it's not a joke, because they spend their life just mastering it and just doing it because they really love it. And a lot of people also, look, you pay a lot of money to buy those artworks because you enjoy it, because you know the value of it, because you are, your life is living up because you look at them and you say, wow. You know, so we are different. There are people I appreciate color, form, and shape, and all these kind of things. And some of you really absolutely static over certain pieces of music, like Echo. Man, she really enjoys music, right? That's why she's devoting her time in music. I can only enjoy some of the music. And you say rock and roll. Oh, maybe I like that too. But you know, there are something that classical music I love. But there are some, boy, metal. I don't know. It blows my ears off. And so, but then when you really know music, when you really enjoy music, when you're built for it, you appreciate the crescendos, the decrescendos, the movement, all this kind of thing. You really love it, the beauty of the sound and the band and the instruments and all this thing. You can connect everything through music. And in fact, you also are open, your heart is open to worship God because you can connect with God through music. I think music is a universal language for many. Why is our hymns or songs are very, very moving sometimes? Because it speaks to our heart. So there is traditional, there's contemporary, but don't minimize the impact of music. So I'm open to traditional music, to contemporary music, because I know for a fact that many are being blessed. Not everybody enjoys traditional music because it makes them or make them fall asleep, but some do enjoy it. So let's work together and appreciate how do we build each other up to connect with God, to worship God through all this gifting that God has given us. And some of you love architecture, like building things, and when you are creating something, you say, oh, this is how God creates things. Now, I've been accused of loving to build buildings, and I don't really love build buildings because there's a lot of headache, a lot of pain, and going. But I like to see building coming up. It's like when we're building a church, the spiritual church I'm talking about, you've built the foundation, you go through discipleship, you build upon each stone, and then finally you have the spiritual temple built for God. See, people find satisfaction and joy in seeing that they are able to create. And so that's why VBS later on, we're going to do decorate the classroom, they build things and all those things. It's very meaningful to me. In fact, sometimes I'm amazed how talented our group, our people are. In the VBS, you can see all these different things. But then some of you, like sometimes like ritual, traditions and all those things, and some of you like to put banners and candles and incense and you know, all kinds of things that bring you to life. And there's nothing wrong with all those. Those are ways that God wants to help us to connect with one another. Imagine there aren't many of you who like, you know, candles or banners or all these things. You don't care for them. But to some people, we'll say, wow, that's great. So let's do that. There are some people really connect with God through that. But that some of you are actually, who are introverted like me, prefer to be alone. And sometimes when I'm in the and a big crowd, and I say, oh, I want to be in the closet. I want to hide. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to hear any sound, any noise, and all these kind of things. And then that's only when you want to say, okay, I like to be quiet and not distracted by things I see or things that I hear, and so I can focus on worshiping God. So these are also legitimate. We cannot, because sometimes we are too rushed to criticize people, to judge people. But God created us very uniquely. But we need to also consider the interests of others. We need to care for others, not only to care about ourselves. So some of you have been made as you create, as you build something, as your hands or make a craft or compose something, as you write something. Some people are very good in poetry. Some people really could bless others by their writings. It encourages people. And those we need to utilize. But while you're doing it, you also feel that you're connected with God. And you also feel that, yeah, you're doing something. You're open. The creativity opens you up to hear God. Because inspiration comes. What does inspiration mean? It's God breathed. God breathed into you and it comes alive. So that's what it is. So some of you are idea people. I'm not talking about idea people that really can jot down 40 things in an hour what to do. That's not what I'm trying to say. But some people really connect by just talking about the big issues of what's the meaning of life. Oh, you gain energy by it. You know, how does it fit? What does this mean? As you talk with other people and discuss the very deep things of life, you're stimulated. And you are more inclined to find out the answer from God, from the Word of God. You see, you learn by talking and by sharing, and then so you realize, wow. Sometimes when I talk with doctors, I really enjoy it because they can really give me some factual things. For example, the eye is created in a very marvelous way that you really cannot imagine how complicated the creation of an eye is. But then when you understand that, you say, wow, God is so big, so great. So those are the things that I want to say. We have ways of connecting, and God has made us. The point is that God made each one of us a way, very uniquely, very differently. In the beginning, you can see Adam and Eve just encounter God directly in the garden. The biblical examples. And that God connects with people nowadays. And Jacob has to be connected with God by wrestling with God. And then we have Elijah, who is connected with God by hearing the still, small voice. And then Ezekiel, we say, connected with God because he can see God, allowed to see visions, and that's how he worshiped God. There's so many things. And now the modern saints, we hear a lot of these people too. We see Francis de Assisi is fine worshiping God through the love of nature. He just enjoyed it, all these kind of things. In fact, it's probably called the saints of the pets. And then we can see also Teresa de Avila. Will she also connect with God in her dreams? And how many of us have different ways of connecting with God? Are you connecting with God? Understand that God loves us all, and he wants to connect with us. These are some of the ways that we can connect with God. And I shall continue next time on how can we connect with God. But remember, God wants to connect with you. And the best example or illustration of God's love for us is by sending his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Because once upon a time, we were disconnected with God. We find our life boring, insipidity, all this bitterness that crowd us. But because Jesus came, he once paved the way and reconciled us to God and reconnect us to God. You can see how much God loves us. by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that we may be reconciled. So every time we observe communion, let's be mindful of that. That God wants to connect with us. It is us who always try to run away from God. Even as Christians, we try to avoid God because we're afraid that God would want to do something to us, or God would want us to do something that we don't like to do. But God loves us that he will not let us do something that's not the best for us. So let's remember that as we partake the communion. Can we ask worship team to come? And let's prepare our hearts as we partake the communion first. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. We are reminded again, Lord, it is only when we abide in you that you abide in us. It's only when your words abide in us or remains in us, O God, that we'll find the joy in life. That your joy may be in us and that our joy may be full, complete, Lord. Help us, Lord, to connect with you. So for those of us who are Christians, O Lord, we ask even now, maybe we have been disconnected for a while, maybe we're experiencing the dark night of our soul. But you say, come, come, cast all your burdens upon me. Come, for my yoke is easy. The Lord will take over all our anxiety, all our hardships and tribulations. The Lord promised us that he will be with us always. So as the music is being played, for those of you who are ready, please come forward to partake the communion. This communion is open to those who have been baptized and know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And for those who are yet to be baptized, we pray that God will lead you soon so that you can join us in partaking the Lord's Supper. Communion. God wants to commune with us. God wants to connect with us. Even through this elements, may we be mindful, reminded that God has forgiven us all when we confess our sins. He is righteous to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So come to the table. It's open for you that you might find God is faithful and loves you and wants to reconnect with you again. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of bread together. After supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the covenant that I made with you for the remission of sins. Take, drink, and do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake the cup together. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness. Unworthy we may be, Lord, but your heart is always towards us. Lord, you said, "Come." And here we are, O God. We want to have a good communion with you. We want to have a good connection with you. We don't want to be distracted by the world. We don't want to be disconnected because of our other priorities, O Lord. But help us, O God, to connect with you every day of our lives. Thank you for the sacrifice that's been offered on our behalf. May we offer ourselves to you too, O God, that our life belongs to you. All that we have, all that we are, all that we can, Lord, we want to offer to you. Thank you, Lord, again for this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand for the benediction, please? Can we sing doxology?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Your cup of grace is deeper than the ocean. Your strong embrace is wider than the sky. Jesus, my heart cannot break enough for your love, a well that runs deep within my soul. Oh, oh, oh.
Perfect words.
Your perfect words go further than, further than tomorrow. And when my world shakes, you pull me through, you pull me through the storm. Jesus, my heart cannot break enough for your love, a well that runs deep within my soul. Oh, oh, oh. Cannot break enough for your love, a well that runs deep within my soul. Oh, oh.
Unto you, the Lord turn his countenance toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The worship will continue, but
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.